This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Dishy Mix. This is your host, Susan Bratton. I'm here at AdTech San Francisco, and this is the continuation of the Muckety Muck Insights series. You're going to get to meet Matt Arkin. Matt is the Chief Revenue Officer, no pressure there, of a new company called Sojourn. And I've known Matt for many, many years. He's a consummate, pleasant, wonderful sales guy. And we're going to hear about his latest venture, Sojourn, as well as a number of other things that he's been up to. So welcome, Matt.
Thank you very much, Susan. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to see you. It's good to see you in real life, you know.
I know. It's been a while, huh? It's usually email exchanges.
It totally is. Yeah. Exactly. So first of all, tell us a little bit about Sojourn, because it's a new adventure for you. You've been with some amazing companies. You've been with Takoda. Yep. You've been with, gosh, what was the other one? MarketWatch. You worked with Scott for a long time. You've been with AOL Platform A, always running the media sales organizations. Right. That's what you're known for, being an awesome one. Forrester, I think, named you one of the best sales leaders and having the best sales organizations in the industry.
Wow.
No
yeah,
pressure.
All these kudos, huh?
No pressure.
So I think the best way to describe Sojourn is to basically go from one of my last jobs at Takoda. We've been putting together that great behavioral network for, you know, for a couple of years, and we got scooped up by AOL. And I would suggest that we were basically taken out of the market, if you will, scooped up by AOL before we'd really gotten the job done. Yeah, there was still so much that we could have done.
And, come to a standstill when AOL bought you?
I'm not necessarily suggesting that. They're still using the technology, et cetera. But what's interesting is there were only a couple industries that were making up 80% of our revenues at Takoda, meaning that we'd only really focused on a couple of areas, even though we were more of a horizontal behavioral targeting network, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was only there, we were bringing in great revenues out of just two verticals predominantly.
What were those two verticals?
It was auto and finance.
Auto and finance. That would have been the two I would have chosen.
Anyway, I guess the point being is it was great. The AOL experience was terrific, but I'm more of a startup guy, and to have the opportunity to join Sojourn, which really is a vertical behavioral targeting network that's based on the airline data, and so what we've done is we've basically brought half the band back together from Takoda to really, if you will, take to the next step in terms of not only the depth of the data that you're gathering, but also what you do with it and how you use it out in the marketplace, how you report back to not just advertisers but publishers themselves, your actual partners being the airlines. So basically, Sojourn is comprised of equity owners of the airlines. So there's six airlines that own upwards of a quarter of this company. Excuse me. So it's the Americans, it's the Deltas, it's the United Airlines that own our, you know, a part of the organization. And the organization was started as we're the boarding pass guys. We were going to put content and relevant advertising based on where you're heading.
I heard
so
about that, yeah.
You're checking in online, you know, on
Delta. Yeah, all that extra space on the 8.5 by 11 piece of paper you print out your boarding pass is all advertising possibilities.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
So that was really the vision of my boss, Gordon Whitten. As he's traveling all over the world, he's thinking, okay, well, this is a lot of wasted space.
Yeah.
And if you know what these people are interested in, I don't need to know who you are, but I certainly would like to, you know, give them relevant information and advertising based on where they're headed.
Exactly.
Because a lot of people, obviously, where they're traveling the first time, they don't know a lot of things, and so it was very applicable. It's a great business as a standalone in terms of just boarding pass, but it doesn't scale. In today's world, we should really talk about scale at some point, right? But it has to be a very scaled situation. So if you combine all the airlines, but you also are able to target those people behaviorally outside of just the tangible assets of the airlines, that's what we do. We've created pretty significantly sized audience segments. And we target those people, again, not only on the assets of the airlines, but also out on the web, much like we did at Takoda, in terms of using network partners to really go find that person that's international traveler or that road warrior. We're going to go find that person out on the web wherever they frequent, CNN.com or CBS.com, wherever it might be that we're going to go find those people. and target them accordingly.
So give me an example, one or two examples, Matt, of a perfect storm of an advertiser who can take advantage of Sojourn in a way that they could do it in kind of your wild fantasy of super high level sophisticated leverage of what you've built.
Sure. So obviously from an endemic standpoint, meaning travel advertisers, it's fairly obvious. If somebody confirms a flight on United.com, we obviously, the hotel chains, love to be able to go target that person, message that person, trying to get what I'd like to say is a head in the bed, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, people, they're trying to basically get their occupancy up. Ultimately, what we'd like to be able to show those endemic clients is more. What types of people they have going through their websites, what types of people are going through their hotel chains based on the data and the information that we have. Again, what percentage of road warrior, what percentage of leisure traveler are they seeing based on specific type? So I think the endemic's fairly obvious on what we're trying to achieve there, and there's great money there from an advertising perspective in the endemic world. What excites me more is being able to, if you go in any airport these days and you see the business-to-business advertisers, where anything from an Accenture to an Oracle to you name it, that's what excites me, because there is a lot of waste being spent on traditional advertising, and I think there's some very effective advertising in airports, but I really think at the end of the day, Sojourn has a data set that really eliminates the waste and really gets to the core person that they're trying to reach. So Oracle is an example, is trying to reach the business decision maker. They're also trying to reach probably an IT professional, where when you take the layer of data that Sojourn currently has and you basically layer on top of it or assuage that content or that data with other pieces from other sources, you can really, I'm not trying to be one-to-one marketing kind of situation, but I do think we can find those ultra significant data points that will really create just enough scale to make it profitable for us, but make it, you know, ultimately targeted for the advertiser.
Exciting. And it's such a great audience, the business traveler and the leisure traveler. It's a ripe opportunity. I can see why Sojourn made a lot of sense to you with your behavioral targeting background. It was like, you could really, it's meaty. You know, you can get your hands
kind of sexy,
on
right? I mean, in terms of...
I wouldn't go sexy, but okay. I would go meaty. You, Matt, you're sexy. Sojourn, we'll see. He's blushing.
Yes,
you can't see it, but now Matt,
it's
Matt's
maybe
blushing.
A little bit of a sunburn, too. So anyway,
yeah, right. Yeah. Nice try. So what do you think is the most exciting area of internet marketing now?
Well, so being the biased on the display side of the business, I would
really?
Say... I would have to go with dynamic ad creative right now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Who's doing that best?
Well,
anybody yet? Because I mean, we've been talking about that for 15 years, Matt.
Yeah, I would say the jury's still out. I like some of the things that Dapper's doing.
Dapper, I haven't heard of them. I'll check that out.
There's a lot of companies. I think the number one thing is, obviously, there's incredible amounts of data out there. Right, and we all talk about the race to the bottom in terms of CPMs, which drives me bananas, because data can be a commodity if you let it be. If you're the publisher and you're selling your data to, excuse me, but Blue Sky, it's going to be commoditized very quickly. If you protect your user base, if you look at Sojourn, we've got a very valuable audience, and I think it complements some of the other sources where you can get travel data out there, and you can go buy it from Blue Sky. I think that's one thing. But if you can target for Marriott, let's use a Sojourn example.
That's where I stayed last night.
Did you? Okay, mm-hmm. So if you look at Marriott, they have 10 different chains underneath their corporate umbrella under Marriott. So,
yeah.
You know,
product line extensions.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If I know that they're leaning more Courtyard by Marriott to be the long-term stay-over type of guy versus, you know, the Marriott in general being more of the business person that they're trying to target, if I can sell Marriott a nationwide buy and basically serve dynamically based on the data sets that we have,
yeah,
and the audience segments that we have, that makes it so much more efficient for everybody, publisher, advertiser included. So it really, and obviously the publishers were replacing the ads. So I think when you ask who's doing it best, it's got a long ways to go. But if you can manipulate the data correctly, and you can create and behind the curtains of these organizations, if it's not too crazy and not requiring too many people to pull it off, and you're using cloud computing very well, I think that's really going to be a major situation going forward for this business.
Awesome.
It makes ultimately display advertising, I don't want to say we're trying to compete with search, I don't think that's what we're trying to do. I mean, that's probably another discussion point here, but I do feel that it's going to be very beneficial for this organization, for the internet in general.
So the high availability of cloud computing gives you the possibility of much better dynamic generation of ads. Is that it?
Well, it's being able to basically hold the data and being able to manipulate the data accordingly. There's just too much data out there to where being able to try to manipulate it, you know, all these organizations have it.
Yes.
Where do you store it? How do you pull
that
from
makes
it?
Sense.
I mean, there's a lot of decisions to be made. And so, you know, there's a lot of data that gets wasted.
Yeah.
And not needed, but there's still it's not known which data points are always best, et cetera. So
it's cooking up at AdTech. The Speakers Lounge is getting busy.
Yeah,
we're going to have to really pump it up a little for our listeners. You're speaking at AdTech this week. Give me a couple of your golden nuggets from your presentation.
So the presentation that I have this afternoon is kind of in some of the same vein what we've been talking about. Is data commoditizing everything? Is it making it to the race to the bottom? Is display advertising just going to ultimately be 50 cents per thousand and it's automated and you don't need salespeople to do it? Look, I'm a big proponent of data, the right usage of data. I think it's humongous, but I'm also the proponent, as I said earlier, if you control your data, if you control your audiences, and if you find what's valuable in those audiences, it's not a commodity at all. So I would say a couple of the things that I'm really pushing is the content still is king, and content generates those valuable audiences, and you need to really control that and own that as a publisher. It's really easy to sell out. I don't know, you remember back in the day when pop unders were so prevalent on the web?
Yeah.
It's really easy if you start selling your data out there in the world where you get that monthly check, and it's hard to let that go, right? It's hard as a publisher to let that go. So I think as a publisher, you have to really, the power of no, you have to use it. You have to say no, that I'm not going to do this, and that I'm going to, you know, because if you're thinking long-term as a publisher, you better be valuing your audiences and what you can put together to really present a well thought through campaign for advertisers.
So it sounds to me like Matt's a really good resource if you're an online publisher to understand how you can decommoditize your data and create more value out of it. I would definitely go talk to Matt. And I want to know, I have another question for you, Matt. You know, on Dishy Mix, we like to talk about the business and the personal, and you're such a successful salesman and sales manager. What's one thing you're doing right now to improve yourself personally or professionally? Because I know you're a man of constant growth.
Well, I am.
And I mean you're getting fat.
I do, yeah.
And there's that beer gun. No,
that's
not at all.
Right. I do read a lot. I don't tend to read fiction. I feel we don't have enough time to even read on our own industry, right? What's interesting is, as you mentioned that question, I think one of the things that I've been doing in the last couple months is we're putting on a sizable addition to this house, and I was cleaning out an area of the house, and I was going through a bunch of old work materials that I've been on in all my previous jobs here in the internet. I've been in this thing for, you know, 15, 16 years. And I got to tell you, it's as much as things are changing, Susan, as much as things are changing, they're staying the same.
And territory management,
going through the notes,
cultivating clients.
Doing your homework, doing your research on clients. Mm-hmm. What is their core marketing need? Who are you targeting? Who are you going after to really get that through? Are you basically trusting the agency to do everything? Nothing against agencies overall; they're very, very important. However, you know, what are you really doing to get across your overall value proposition? There's just some basics that continually ring true. So yes, we've got mobile. We've got all these things that are changing this in the space. But at the end of the day, it's what you're taking and packaging together for clients and really presenting the right way. It's basics. So what am I doing? What am I doing to improve myself? I'm actually going back to the future, if you will. Right? I'm going back and I'm looking at what was important back then and how can we use that still today? And it's not that different.
We get in love with the technology and the data and the information and the possibilities, and we have to remember to keep it to all the basics, you know, the basics of sales. Here's my magic wand, Matt.
Okay.
Fix something, create something, change something. You choose one wish.
So if this was 17 years ago, what is it, 17? When did Al Gore invent this thing?
I don't know. Well, you and I started probably, I started in 96, so yeah. What is that, 14 years ago?
Yeah. So I would say at the advent of the internet, I would have, if I had a magic wand, I probably would put much less emphasis on the measurability, or specifically the click on the internet. So I love the fact that it's measurable. I love the fact that we can get more data and more research and understanding of what makes people tick. But it has made it such a direct response, even to this day. I mean, we talk about how do you brand online. I mean, it's been talked about years and years and years. But really,
ad nauseum, as they say.
When you really look at how much money is being spent on the online, and how what little percentage is real about changing brand perceptions, getting people aware of what's of your product or your service, it really is what takes away from targeting the right audience. Right, a click is not a click is not a click. And an impression is not an impression. And we still to this day don't have that well indexed in the space, meaning what how to value publishing or specific types of audiences, etc. There's companies that are starting to get there, which is improving. There's a couple. There's a company called Jovian. It's a small startup down in San Jose, and they're really starting to be able to maybe look at how they're going to index specific types of sites and audiences in terms of different parameters. But I would say that it's going to allow you to really, again, value certain things differently. Again, a click from, I think you understand my point.
I do.
It's just not. It just doesn't have the respect as a traditional vehicle, and we're held to completely different standards. So I would wave that big wand, I think, if I had any chance to do that.
Well, it sounds like the wand will eventually be waved. So.
Well, I don't know if I'll be still here, but maybe.
I hope you'll be long retired on the golf course by then.
That's right.
So, last question: you spend a tremendous amount of time managing your team on air. Airplanes, in front of customers, speaking at events. I'd like an efficiency trick from you, because you've always struck me as a very organized person. Maybe one efficiency trick about coping with the onslaught of email, or something that you use to feel like you're in control, maybe even if you aren't.
Well, personally, I would say personally and with my staff, something that they get so tired of, my staff gets so tired of me saying, but when out there in the sales field, it is time management is so important. You see a lot of publishers and their sales staffs, they get down a road where they get on the treadmill, where they get into this direct response and filling out RFPs and they're on their emails and they're responding within minutes. Is it really that important that we're on email all day long? No. I mean, I really think we have to manage our time. We have to look at, as a sales organization specifically, you have to look at where is my time being spent, who are my targets, and what needs to get done to really do it well. So it gets back to doing homework, doing research, and really understanding what makes your clients tick. The only way you're going to be able to do that is being efficient with your time. You have to absolutely mark down time when you're going to work on email. You got to mark down time when you're going to work on client XYZ. So I would say the secret to email is shut it off.
Yes.
Just shut it off. Schedule 3 times a day when you're going to do it. If you emailed me at 8 o'clock this morning, is it okay if I get back to you at noon? I think it is.
Right? Absolutely.
I mean, let's just face it. This, as much as we're a real time medium, it doesn't have to be that real time, right? So I would say that's probably the best way to do it.
One of the things that I just learned recently from Pierre Kawand, he runs a company called People on the Go. I've had him on Dishy Mix a couple times. He speaks at Ad Tech. I've brought him in here to speak. He said that there's this concept of the results curve. And, the iPhones now, they have a countdown timer on them, which is awesome. And he says, set your countdown timer for 40 minutes when you need to focus on a project. Turn off email. Turn off everything, ignore the phone, shut off your phone, do anything you can, and put your countdown timer on 40 minutes and don't do anything but that task. You'll find that by the 30 minutes in, you're totally in the groove, and the last 10 minutes is when you get the real work done. And when that timer goes off at 40 minutes, you're like, whoa, wait a minute, I've got so much more, and often you'll just keep going. And it's a way to get maybe to quell your attention deficit disorder around
exactly.
The constant interruptions. And I really like that. He has a video on YouTube that you might want to send to your team.
Nice.
It's called Results Curve.
Great.
Yeah, it's really good.
I will
absolutely
do that.
Awesome. Well, Matt, thank you so much for being a Dishy Mix muckety muck and sharing your key insights today.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I really do appreciate it.
It was really fun to get to see you again. And I hope you enjoyed getting to know Matt Arkin, the Chief Revenue Officer of Sojourn. And that's SOJERN, so you can find him. All right. We'll be back soon. Thanks.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.